Do you want to relax? Are you having trouble sleeping or focusing? CBD reduces anxiety, chronic pain, seizures, PTSD, depression. Try our CBD gummies or chocolates. You will be very satisfied. Visit cbdcollections.net. cbdcollections.net. cbdcollections.net.
Hey folks, Chris Daly here from Jamaican Chat. And it's my delight to always have Jamaicans doing extraordinary stuff. And today we have Curly Sue. She's an award-winning published author, a vegan social media influencer, and a television presenter. Curly Sue was named one of the top 100 in the Lyft FX Star Awards. She stars in a vegan cooking show entitled Curly Sue Global Kitchen, currently available on the Hope Channel UK. I think when it comes to food, it must be delightful to be able to have so many followers. And we're going to find that out today. She of course, has Jamaican roots. So welcome to our conversation, Curly Sue.
Thank you. Hello. Well, thank you for welcoming me.
Great. So first, we'd like our audience to know who you are. Tell us a little about your Jamaican roots, since you don't have that strong Jamaican accent, or accent, as they would say.
No, I don't have a strong Jamaican accent because I was born in London. My parents are from Jamaica. They emigrated to the UK in the 50s and 60s, and I was born in London, and I've lived here ever since. I have lived in Jamaica from age 5 until I was 10. And I also was a student missionary to Crete and also Thailand.
Wow, you're truly a global person. This is great. So, you know, given that you're this vegan expert influencer, when did this idea of being a vegan come into your consciousness and practice?
Well, I was vegetarian from the age of 18, and I, at the time when I started to become a vegetarian, there wasn't as many nice recipes around as they are today, because it's kind of exploded over the past few years. So what I used to do is every time I had a recipe that I liked and I'd adapt it for myself, or if I created a recipe, I'd keep them in a folder. And then eventually I thought, actually, this could be a book. So I was the news anchor for the 2005 GC session. And while I was there, some people from 3ABN said, we'd like you to come and do some cooking shows. But I hadn't done anything with regards to cooking at the time. But later on, I wrote my first cookbook. So then I got in touch with them and I said, do you remember me? You wanted me to come and do some shows, and they said, oh, amazing, great, get on a plane. So that's kind of how it started off.
This is great. So at 18, you became vegan and
vegetarian,
I should say.
Yes.
What was there a backstory to what made that choice for you?
To become a vegetarian?
Yeah.
I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, as you know. And as you know, we uphold healthy mind, healthy body, healthy spirit, and we're always encouraged to be plant-based. So I've always grown up knowing about vegan and vegetarian food, but I decided at the age of 18 to become a vegetarian, and I became a vegan about 8 years ago.
Wow, this is neat. So yeah, a lot of our audience may not be aware of the differences. Could you give us a quick tutorial between being a vegetarian and then a vegan?
Sure. A vegan eats no meat, fish, dairy, eggs, and honey. A vegetarian doesn't eat any meat or fish. There are people who eat meat or fish and call themselves vegetarian or vegan. Those are just people are confused. What I described to you is what it is, because you get the reason for the confusion is people claiming to be vegan and vegetarian when they're not. So vegan, no meat, fish, dairy, eggs, honey. Vegetarian, no meat, no fish. Anyone who says they are vegan or vegetarian and they don't stick to that, they're not. They're just confused.
Yes. Okay, good. Thank you for that very crisp and clarity to that situation. We know that seeing your faith somewhat fostered that. But usually, I'm thinking of times that at 18, kids are usually going the other way as opposed to considering they're considering that maybe meat eating then versus becoming more focused on your diet. So were there any other any motivated factors beyond the faith issue that kind of drove it for you?
For vegetarian, well, to become a vegan, I watched a documentary called Forks Over Knives and another one called The Truth About Milk and another one called Veggiecated. And then I was reading a book called The China Study, and that kind of gave me the aha moment about vegan food, and I decided to make the switch.
Okay, neat. Yeah, for some folks, they say, "Oh, that's nice." Can you maybe articulate, you know, from someone you're teaching, what are the top three things you would say to somebody, the benefits of becoming a vegan?
The benefits of becoming a vegan are you suddenly become more aware of what you're eating in terms of scrutinizing it. That's one thing. It's actually cheaper. If you buy all the processed junk stuff, it's not cheaper. But if you buy beans, legumes, fruits, vegetables, and things like that, it's much cheaper than buying meat and fish and other things. Also with dairy, you're not going to be having dairy if you're vegan. So if you have almond milk, it's the price of it has come down, but you can actually make it yourself quite reasonably as well. And it's actually super easy to make. I've got a recipe for it on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
The other thing I would say is it helps with sustainability, because part of the problem with climate change and resources in the world in terms of food and so forth is because of the demand for meat, particularly beef. And if people ate less of it, there'd be less resources used because, and let me explain a bit more about that. To rear a cow takes a lot of grass and water and all sorts of resources to rear one cow. But if you're growing beans or vegetables, the resources you need for that are far different. So it uses up a lot of water for cows as well. So there's a big difference between the two. So that would be another reason in terms of climate that it would be good to go vegan. And I'm not saying everybody has to switch to being vegan now. What I would say is start just looking at some options. If you want to go fully vegan, that's amazing. But if you just want to be what is known as a flexitarian, that is great as well, where you have some vegan options.
Okay, neat. Thank you for that. So emotionally, you know, especially food is such a social part of our being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you grew up on jerk chicken, for instance, and you can all your senses are somewhat. Can you describe part of the journey, emotional journey from moving from being, say, a meat eater to becoming a vegan? And how do you make sure that the satisfaction that you get from, you know, the socialization you also benefit from in that new sphere?
I'll sum it up. When the will to change is greater than the will to stay the same, the change will come.
Okay, the will to change. Could you repeat that for our audience?
When the will to change is greater than the will to stay the same, the change will come. So you have to have a mindset. So you can't expect to switch out all of your what you're eating to a vegan option and expect it to be the same. So I always advise people and say, I'd do it really gradually. I wouldn't say, right, as from today, I'm going to be vegan, that's it. It's too drastic a change. I would say start off by just looking for vegan snacks and keep that up for a couple of weeks. Keep a diary, a little book to write down your favorites because you're going to need it in the future. Then switch out one meal. You can start with breakfast. Look for vegan breakfast that you like. Switch it out. Try it for a couple of weeks. Record it in your book. Then do the lunch. Then do dinner. The reason for recording it in the book is you're going to have a day when you think, oh, I don't know what to eat. Go back to the book. You'll remember what your favorites are.
That's really powerful. So it's not this binary change out. It's a gradual, move from where you are to, and that and with the kind of resources that you just mentioned, logging it to keep track of what you eat, and that makes such a big difference. Thank you for that. Are there any other resources that you'd recommend? We know you have this great cookbook that that you have. Talk a little bit first about the cookbook. And then maybe we can follow up with other resources that folks can use to actually make that journey for them well.
I would say, yes, there's my cookbook. It's called Cooking with Kids. Fun fact about my cookbook, even though it's a kid's cookbook, a lot of people buy it who are adults and they don't even have any kids because they just want something that's easy to use, first of all. So Cooking with Kids is available from my website, www.curlysueskitchen.co.uk. Curly spelled K-I-R-L-Y, so Curly Sue's Kitchen. So if they go on there, go to shop, click, and you can buy the book. The publisher, Stamber Press, deliver anywhere in the world, providing you click the right button for the area in the world in which you live, then you're fine. So there's that. Other resources are, yes, cookbook. I would say do a cookery course. My YouTube channel has lots of recipes on there that you can use. I'm on Instagram. There's lots of recipes on there as well. And I'd say start making a little folder of stuff that you like and building up a new repertoire bit by bit, basically.
So talk a little about, because you have these YouTube resources. So you on there, you encourage people and you also show them how to prepare the meals or?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a favorite that you find that you really recommend people? It's an easy start for, if they're going to start this journey.
Yeah, butter bean and lentil curry is really easy. Chickpea nuggets. There's pulled jackfruit. My best performing video is actually how to make a vegan sponge cake. Who knew that? Well, it's approaching almost 400,000 people have watched the video.
Wow.
To make a cake. So, yeah, there's
a sponge cake.
Yep.
Okay.
How to make a vegan sponge cake. So, there's that on there. There's lots of great options on there, definitely. And I upload weekly. So, there's always tons.
Always. Do you have, as you mentioned, cake? How does sugar play in the mix of being a vegan?
There are certain types of sugar that are not suitable for vegans because they're made using bones to grind them or something like that. But I think you have to look on the packaging to determine that that's okay. But also I try not to use too much processed sugar because it's not great for you. I think cake is for special occasions. It's not daily bread, so it's okay for you.
It's not daily bread. I like the way you put that. That's great. So that give us this day or sponge cake.
Yeah.
So, one of the folks I know, people like myself who to make changes or business, time is usually of the essence. So speak to us about the time element it takes to do some of these things. It seemed like from what you said, they're simple enough. It's not a lot of time as opposed to eating out, are there restaurants that do support vegan style that you also would recommend?
There's loads. It depends where you are in the world. There's lots of vegan options. There's an app called Happy Cow And when you go on there, it shows you, you put in the city that you're in the world, and it will tell you where all the vegan restaurants are near to wherever you are.
Wow. So, could you repeat the name of that app again?
Happy Cow.
Like a happy cow. Okay. Yeah. The cow is celebrating because it's not being eaten.
Not being eaten. Yeah. Because I was thinking, I thought, why is it called Happy Cow? And I thought, oh, of course. Of course the cow would be happy. Yeah. So it's Happy Cow. So that's really useful. In terms of cooking vegan food, sometimes people get in their own head about it and think it's going to be really complicated. And I promise you it's not. It's really simple. For example, the butter bean and lentil curry, you can make that in 20 minutes. It's not difficult. You can have that with rice, or I cook bulgur wheat. I've got a recipe for bulgur wheat. Bulgur wheat is really easy to cook. It cooks quicker than rice does as well, and it tastes kind of like rice. Or I use cauliflower rice sometimes, or cauliflower and broccoli rice. That is super healthy for you as well. So there's lots of options. If you have a really busy schedule, I would say meal prep is good. Some people find it a bit overwhelming to do meal prep for the whole week. So I say do meal prep for about 3 days to start with. So if you prep what you're going to have for the next 3 days, that will help you a lot as well. And it also saves on food waste as well.
Wow, these are really great tips. Thank you for those.
You're welcome.
So you see, it's trendy that more people are considering vegan as an option. Yeah. And you mentioned some really great reasons why. We talk about climate change and the like, and the ease of getting, you know, accessibility and ease of preparing food. Yeah. If you should put on your crystal ball and should the world last another 5 years, how do you see the vegan movement growing?
I think it's going to be even more popular and even more the norm, because if you go back 10 years, there were not the options that you see today. And if you even go back even before that, about 20 years, there were vegan things around, like vegan cheese, but I don't know who was making these things because they were just not tasty at all. But nowadays, they've got better at it. More manufacturers have jumped on the vegan bandwagon, which is great. A lot of celebrities are using their platforms to talk about vegan food, which has helped enormously. A lot of people who are worried about the planet as well have been banging the drum about climate change, because I've just got a quote here. It's the raising beef uses 10 times more resources than, say, other food items. So the resources,
more resources.
Yeah.
Water, land, grass.
Yeah. Yes.
It uses 10x. Yeah.
Yes. So I think in the future, a lot more people will not necessarily be vegan, but more flexitarians. I think there will be. There will be more people moving to vegan, but I think there will be people eating less and less meat, I think. I saw this quote on Instagram where there's a particular celebrity from the US, but I don't think he's that well known in the UK, where I live. But he predicted that in 10 years' time, the meat and dairy industry will be no more. I don't know how true that will be, but that's his prediction. He said that their industry is going to cave, basically.
Wow, okay, neat. So we know you have a YouTube channel and other, and you want to say if people like to follow you and follow up some of the places that they should try to reach out and become a follower for you?
Yes. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you just look for Curly Sue's Kitchen, Curly Sue spelled K-I-R-L-Y, Curly Sue's Kitchen. I'm on all those platforms. I'm also on TikTok as well. So follow me. The main platforms are YouTube and Instagram.
Okay, neat. Well, it's been a delight, Curly Sue, to engage with you and to give us such rich resources. Do you have any parting words for our audience?
I would say eat good, eat clean, eat blessed.
Eat good, eat clean, eat blessed.
Yes.
You can't get any better than that. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you. And
for blessing us with such wisdom to change or to revolutionize the way we live and treat our environment. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Wonderful.